And open them up to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 19. The title of the message is Good, Better, Best. It's a gospel story. Good, better, best. Also, I believe this afternoon, is it 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock? What time are we gathering? 2:30. 2:30. Those of you who are able, come join Don and myself and Ron and Amy and others who are going to try to decorate this church out for Christmas. We really could use a lot of help, and it goes fast if we have a lot of people. That has nothing to do with Luke 17, but I thought I'd share that with you while you're turning there. Are you there, Luke 17? Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Luke 17. Let's look at the first two verses here. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Father, I pray that we will indeed do what we just sang. Where you go, I'll go. I will follow you. Help us to follow you along in this text, Holy Spirit. I pray that you will help me to get out of the way, and I pray that you'll speak to our hearts where our greatest needs are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these guys had been following Jesus. And this story is really about 10 guys, but it's really about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have 10 guys that are in need, and you have a willing Savior. And it's a miracle story with some big themes in it that really are part of the gospel message itself. And I thought it'd be great if we walked through them. What is the gospel, and how does this story relate it to us, and what does it have to do with our lives today? Well, the first theme that jumps out at us is this theme of justice. Justice. We need to find out what in the world does justice mean, though, because everyone has a little bit different definition to it. Webster defines justice this way. It's the principle of moral rightness. Moral rightness and equal treatment under the law. Well, the problem with that kind of a definition, especially from the human side, is that so many different cultures, and even within the cultures, people have their own standard of what is moral righteousness. Amen? It's true. People decide this is okay for me, but other people would say, I would never do such a thing. That's going to be wrong. Think about the current Israeli-Hamas war and what's going on there. But can we throw in there as well the Russian-Ukrainian war? I mean, this discussion is going on in the public eye through the media, and you can get all kinds of input from people, whether it's right and whether it's wrong, and what's right about it and what's wrong about it. Is it moral? Is it immoral? Did it start out moral? Now it's turned immoral. Did it start out on and on and on and on and on? The Nuremberg trials faced such a dilemma. Those of you who don't know what the Nuremberg trials are, I'll give you the 30-second version. So after the surrender of Germany and Japan, it took several years to prepare, but there were individuals who were in leadership that were going to be held accountable for their actions in the war, and this took place in Nuremberg, Germany. I've probably mentioned this to you, but before, my father was one of the MPs there at the Nuremberg trials. You can see his picture anytime you look back there if you want. Good luck in recognizing him. I see his picture when he was a young man, and I go. And at the Nazi leadership, and probably the Japan leadership as well, Japanese leadership, were claiming that they were simply following the orders of their commanders. They were simply obeying and trying to follow the leadership of the laws of the leaders of their land and the laws of their land, and they shouldn't be tried as criminals. This actually posed a bit of a problem for the judges there and the lawyers there, until an American lawyer stood up and said, listen, there is a law above the law. How many of you remember that phrase? There is a law above the law that everybody must answer to. I don't care who you are or where you're from. And with that being said, it was like the doors opened up and there was no issues, and they were able to move forward with the trial. Now, that judge was correct. In order for true justice to take place, justice must have, however, the right standard. You got to have the right standard or you're going to have an injustice, and that's going to go on continually. It's not enough for a person to say, well, you know what, I'm just acting a certain way because those are my convictions, those are my beliefs. I respond or I speak a certain way because that's how I feel I should do, because that's my, you know, that's my issue, that's the thing that I hold to so dear. But a person cannot be exempt from a higher law and a higher authority. So that's what we're talking about, higher law, higher court, a higher authority. And the Bible makes it clear that the only standard that is for right and wrong is God himself. And so what's that in the world got to do with what we're talking about? Well, just hang on here. So justice, when we speak about justice in this story here, and also in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're speaking of referring to a higher law. We're speaking about a higher standard. We're speaking about God himself. Psalm 145 says this, the Lord, and the Lord alone is righteous in all his ways. Only he is righteous. Only he is perfect and holy. So when we consider the theme of justice in the Bible, and we're going to have to look at it here in this story, we must consider several things, especially in this story. First of all, leprosy is an ailment that happens to anyone, anybody. It can happen to someone who is young. It can happen to someone who is old. It can happen to someone who's a male and someone who is a female. It can happen to someone who is poor, and it can happen to someone who's very rich. It is not a respecter of persons. So in that sense, there's no injustice at all in our story here. Anybody could get leprosy. It wasn't like, oh, these poor people. Well, yeah, they are poor people. I got to agree with that statement, except it wasn't an injustice by God at all. Some people would say that. No, it's just a malady. We're going to get to that in a moment here. So God didn't necessarily pick that person for that. He has, and it's in Scripture as well. But leprosy comes to all, and it comes to any. So there's no injustice here in our story about these 10 folks that have leprosy. Secondly, leprosy also doesn't necessarily mean, and especially in Scripture, that that person is under judgment of God because of sin. People would like to say that. In fact, that was the thought of the culture back then. Oh, you're sick? All right, you must have sinned. Man, if that's the case, we all got some trouble, don't we? I mean, how many times do you have allergies? You have a cold, I got a backache, I got arthritis, I got a flu, I got COVID for the 47th time or whatever. You know, and you know, the people would say, oh, you got sin, you got sin, you got sin. No, it's not presented that way most of the time. However, sometimes it is. Do you remember the story in Numbers about Moses' sister Miriam? Moses was the leader. She was criticizing her own brother and the leader of the nation. And God said, I don't think that's a good idea. You shouldn't be doing that. And boom, in comes the judgment of God on Miriam. She has leprosy instantly. God does heal her of that eventually. But there is a situation there where it can be. It can be. Paul talks about that when we're taking the Lord's table, doesn't he? He says you ought to be careful about it when you approach this table, when you take communion. You know, we ought to be a little more reverent when our approach to taking the bread and taking the cup, because we shouldn't take it in an unworthy manner. All right? Some people, when I was growing up, I had the understanding that had to do with you had to be saved and unsaved. Okay, yeah, you should be saved when you take communion, but being unsaved doesn't mean you're going to be sick if you take it. It doesn't really mean anything to you. What Paul's talking about is those believers who aren't walking with the Lord, who know that they are living in an attitude or an action of sin. You better beware, because there, he makes it very clear. That's why some of you are sick and some even sleep. So we do have this sense of justice that comes out in our story here, where people, there's no injustice with someone getting sick. Sometimes it's just because it's, and it gets to our third one here, of a spiritual application. It's just the cause of sin. It's the consequence of sin. The reason, by the way, we have to go to doctors and dentists and surgeons and chiropractors and all these people who, as you get older, they become your best friends, right? Amen? They do. You're visiting them more than other people sometimes. It's because, can I say it? Sin. I've said this before. I remember one time Don came home from taking one of the kids to the doctor in our church in Danville. He was a pediatrician. She walks in they look him over and he says to her, she says, "Well, what's wrong with so-and-so?" And he says, "Oh, it's just a sin problem." And that kind of took her back. He was kidding. He had a sense of humor. But in actuality, it's true. It's theologically correct. The reason we suffer, the reason we have ailments, the reason we hurt, the reason we have relationship problems, I'm going to tell you right now, it's because of sin. Sin impacted and influenced, it has just messed the world up. So there's spiritual applications that, yes, there is sin. And so justice, can I say this? This is where it relates to the story. Justice is being met out, in a sense, spiritually, in those 10 people. Because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, therefore, the consequence of sin is death and that separation from God. We're all lepers because of sin. And so really, the justice of God, that which is morally right, that which is good, that which is holy and righteous, is being met out. In fact, we could say it this way, couldn't we? That if we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be here today. So we talk about the justice of God, the justice of God. Well, it's a double-edged sword there, isn't it? In its purest form, the justice of God deals with evil. Because that's the problem people have. What's wrong? We have so much evil if God's a just God. And here we are now. We've put on the justice robes and we're judging God. God, in his way, in his time, he is going to make all things right. And he has a plan and a purpose for these things. And the way he does it, we don't always understand and necessarily agree with how it happens. But this is what's going on here. We have these 10 guys. I would imagine they probably felt like, man, why did I get the lucky draw? Why am I the one with leprosy? I didn't do anything wrong. And here they are. You ever feel that way? Why am I the guy? And you fill out whatever is going on there in your life. But really, the evil nations, I'm going to tell you this right now, they will be held accountable. I am not here to be political, but I can tell you this. In the situations that we're having today, where you've got Israel and you've got Hamas going at each other, and you've got Russia and you've got Ukraine going at each other, there are definitely strong opinions on both sides. And yes, I'm sure there's righteous there, but we don't always have all the facts of everything either. We know that. Can you believe everything the reporters are telling you? Okay, or the media is telling you, I don't even care what the news, some are more reliable than others, I get that, but we have to be careful with that. But I can tell you one who knows exactly what's going on. I can tell you the motives. And so those who are caught, and this is what breaks my heart, and I know it breaks many of your hearts, not all your hearts, is the ones that are innocent that are caught in the middle of all of it. These children, they didn't want any of this. And as the people pound and they want, you know, the righteous war to continue, I always wonder, there's a fine line there between the righteous war and revenge. And we be careful not to cross it. And also to show mercy, which I think, for all our country has been, our country many times, not all the times, has tried to be that merciful nation. Over the years and in wars. God help us to be that way all the time. But here we have this going on there, so we have this issue of justice. And so they come, and these guys, it says here, that they entered the village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and they lifted up their voices. And here they come. So here these guys come, and they're interacting, and they're intersecting with Jesus. And what happens? Well, it's good, first of all. The good part is they went to the right source. That was good. So the good part of our story is that these guys, I don't know what they tried. Maybe they tried herbs and bathing in the Jordan and whatever, because they read a story about, heard a story about Naaman, or whatever, and it didn't work. So they said, well, I've watched that Jesus, so I'm going to go to him. That would be your first and best choice today and every day, is to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the right source. I mean, if you've got a foot problem, you can come to me, and I can pray over your foot. I can give you tomato soup. But if it needs surgery, good luck. I don't know what I can do for you. It's funny that we know that and we smile, right? But how many of us, when it comes to spiritual or relationship issues, we go to the wrong sources? We should be going to biblical truth and biblical counseling, people who could take the Word of God and open it and let God speak to you through his Word and his Spirit. These guys had enough sense to do the good. They said, you know what? Whatever we try doesn't work. Let's go to Jesus. So there they are. I don't know how far away. I read somewhere it was like 50 yards, 100 yards. I don't know, 100 yards, I suppose you could hear if you yell really loud. Coaches could probably get away with that, right? Most people can't. Maybe 50 yards is more accurate. But they had to stay away. There was all these rules and everything. Couldn't get close to them. So they're yelling over here. And let's read what they say. So now they go good, but there's something that they could do better. Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The first big idea is justice, that which is right, holy, and everything like that. There was no injustice put on these men. They were in a condition. We don't know why. We're not even given an explanation. We can only say, you know, sometimes you just get sick. Why do I get sick? Because we live in a sin-filled world. That's the way it is. Sometimes God does bring sickness and illnesses and trials into our lives to get us to repent, to get our attention. Whoa. Sometimes he does this. We don't know what's going on here with that. We do know that God is a just, righteous, and holy God, and it was good that they went to him, because he's the surgeon you want to call when you got a problem. And so that was a good thing, justice. But then there's this second theme, then, by the way, in the scriptures, study it yourself. Justice seems like it's always coupled with mercy. At least from the Lord's side, not always from people. But from the Lord's side here, so now we got mercy going on. I love Ken Bailey. He has this book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. It's a great book if you ever want to dig into it. It describes the meaning of mercy in Jesus' day. He says this, and I want to quote him here. It says, showing mercy has two basic meanings: to respond to human need with compassion and action is at the core of what showing mercy is all about. But there's more. To be merciful and obtain mercy are profoundly related to forgiving and being forgiven. End of quote. Wow. What is mercy? Mercy, simply, biblically, is to respond to human needs with compassion and willing to do it quickly. Mercy is also open to forgive even those who have wronged you. Jesus made mention of that, didn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount. What did he say? Blessed are the... What's that? Blessed are the... Merciful. Merciful. Why? They shall receive mercy. They shall get it. This means that those individuals who show mercy are going to obtain mercy from God themselves. So what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? They had enough sense to go to the right source. They want the God of justice is going to give them, but they also want a God not just of justice, who's going to do what is right, and he's able to do it, but they want a God who's merciful. So what does he do? Look at verse 14. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Let's stop right there. What does Jesus do when they come to him, when they cry out for need? They're in a desperate situation. They can't solve their problem. they're obviously not able to heal themselves. They come to the right source, and they cry out, and what does the Bible say? It says, Jesus saw them. Now, that's significant. Have you ever felt like you've been in a crowd, but no one sees you? You ever been in a family gathering and everyone seems to be having a great time? Or maybe you're gathering with friends and there's a large group of people and you're there and nobody sees you. Now, when I say that, I think you understand what I mean. You're a person. You're here. You're there. You're present. No one seems to care. I might be there physically, but no one's noticing me or asking how I'm doing. What I think is profound about this whole concept of mercy is this idea, this truth that Jesus sees you. He sees you. One of my favorite classic gospel songs from the past is that song, He Touched Me. Many of you know that song, right? What does it say? Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. Long before Jesus touched you, he saw you. He sees you right now. Even in your state of leprosy, whatever it might be, a relationship issue, a spiritual issue, maybe you're not walking with the Lord as you should, maybe you know in your heart, you know what, I'm thankful that God saved me and I'm trying to be a good Christian, but you know that God has called you to bigger and better things, called you to walk deeper, called you to be more influential in your family and in your church and in your community. He's called you to do that. You know that. I don't have to sit here and tell you that. And you know, and God sees you and knows that. He's calling you and me to be that. And here these guys are crying out to Jesus. And it's some good news when someone actually stops, turns, and sees me. They listen. Jesus listened to these guys. How many times do you think people, when they saw the 10 lepers, ran the other way? Or told them, stay back! Stay back! Unclean! Right? Now, there would be some reason, good reason, that's why they would want that, because they're fearful of what? Of getting leprosy. It can be passed on. It can be passed on. There's different types of skin diseases. And there's some that can be passed on. So they're kind of wanting to push away from that. But Jesus stops and he says, what do y'all want to say? What is it you're saying? Master, have mercy. They're asking for compassion from the master. Why, did they offend him or something? What are they asking for mercy for? Well, I'm not sure they all thought that they offended God necessarily. They could have been religious men. Maybe they had an understanding that, hey, maybe I'm in this situation because of sin. Maybe some of them were and they knew it. Maybe some of them had no idea. This just happened and I got it. And I need someone who can do something about it. And so they come to Jesus and it simply says that he saw them. And so when Jesus comes and sees them, they know that he's going to do the right thing because he's a just God. But he doesn't just meet justice out. He meets it with mercy. So he offers it to them and he gives them something to do. He says, okay, guys, I've heard what you said to me. I saw you. I really do see what's going on inside. And Jesus knows what's really going on inside. He doesn't need an interpretation from you and me in our prayers as to what's wrong with our spouse or what's wrong with our kids or what's wrong with our boss. God knows what's wrong. And it usually starts with our heart. But he's a merciful God. He gets it. So he goes, okay, guys, I want you to go and show yourselves to the priests. What is that? I don't know, but these guys jumped on that. So obviously it's a cultural thing, right? They get it. So to be able to go to the priest and show yourself, that means that you are coming for a particular purpose, meaning I've been healed. They weren't healed at that moment. So Jesus tells them to go ahead and do that. So what is he asking them to do? What is he asking them to take? A huge step of what?
Faith.
Faith. Yeah, I'm not there. I'm not there yet. But God called me to go there, and I'm supposed to just do it? Yep, that's right. But I got this stuff all over me. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, these guys, maybe better than some of us, didn't seem to have the problem. It says, as they went. I mean, there wasn't any discussion. I don't know if they were racing or sprinting or what, but they were on their way to go show themselves to the priest. There's a lot of great discussion on this whole, these whole few sentences and what this is all about. And why is it that they didn't see? There's no recollection or no written record that these guys actually observed that they were actually healed. They were just going and going and going and going and running. They were probably covered completely and talking and talking. And they're just running, obeying Jesus, doing what he said to do, which is a good thing. So they went from good, which is going to the right source, the one who can give true justice, but also to better, which is simply, you know, hey, now I've not only gone to him, but I'm going to him, and I'm asking him specifically for help, and he's going to provide mercy for me. But now there's something that's better than all of that. There's something, they got what their prayer was. The problem is in the story, the challenge is that they could have got a whole lot more. How often do we limit ourselves by what we ask God? They asked him for healing. Did they need healing? Yes, amen. All right, I'm going to have to come out here. Would it help if I walked on the top of the pews? What if I floated on the top of the pews? Then I'll have your attention, right? So these guys, they had a need, right? They had a need, and they specifically asked for that need. Was there anything wrong with that? Yeah. Not a thing. Not a thing wrong. Jesus doesn't scold them for that at all. In fact, he's probably glad they obeyed. Hey, they're taking off. Boom, they're gone. But the story now starts to twist on us a little bit. Don't you love that about the gospel story? It's like, what in the world is this? Let's see what it says here, because we're going to go from better to best. We're going to go from better to best. And I would hope that today, if I offered you good, better, and best, last week we talked a little bit about pennies, dollars, and millions of dollars. If you want to think of it in that, I'm offering you something that's the $1 million here. So that as they went, it says, we're still in verse 14, I believe. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. I'm not sure what happened here. Why did the others not see? Doesn't say. It focuses on this one. He actually saw that he was cleansed. Maybe in the discussion, we do know later on that there was some, probably most of these guys were Jews, but you know they had a common element, so they would actually associate with a Samaritan at that part. You do know Samaritans and Jews didn't get along back then; they didn't want to be around each other. But since they're all lepers, hey, we're best of buddies. Who knows? Maybe along the way, the nine were talking, and the one I don't know. I'm just tossing out there. But the one guy is like, he noticed along the way, I don't know if he caught a look of his hand or whatever it was. He said, whoa, what? He saw that it was gone. Wow. So here we have this very strange situation. We don't know what's going on here with these guys. But what we do know is that when they respond in faith, that brings about God's healing answer. they specifically ask about that. Now, I don't know what you are going on here today. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what your background is. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't even ask about all that. He didn't go down and say, okay, now, you know, Bubba and Ricky and Bobby and all those other things and whoever all these people are. Not Ricky Bobby, but Ricky and... That's a movie joke for the five people that may have actually seen that. Sorry about that. But anyway, so he didn't go down and list all their sins and list everything they've done. He doesn't care about your background in that sense. What he's looking for is faith. What he's looking for, what is best, and that's really the third idea here. We have this whole new concept we're walking into, which is this element of faith. And so now he says, just go. And they take off. Same thing with you today. Some people want to hold back and say, well, I don't know. I got a lot in my background. I got a lot of baggage. I got a things that have happened to me and things that I've done to others. And I'm not sure that what God can do here. You need to realize the source, the master can heal anything and fix anything in his time. But you can't worry about what it's going to be like with other people. What is God asking you to do? That's where it begins. And so this one guy sits here and he looks and he realizes, man, look at this. What does he do? He turns back. Well, that's kind of in violation, right, of what was said. But it seems to be that the faith aspect was that they obeyed immediately. They didn't pray about it for 2 weeks. They obeyed. And it was the obedience of faith that brought about the healing. Faith gets God's attention, just so you know. So as they're going their way, they're healed. The priest was simply the end of the journey to get them reconnected with the community once again, because even though we're healed, their name was on a list, trust me. The priest knew, I can't have that guy in town, or we can't have him run his business anymore. So in order for them to get plugged back into the community, into their life, they had to reconnect with the priest, and he had to see that they were actually clean. And once he said they were cleansed, clean, they were good to go back to their family, back to their jobs, and they could worship in the temple again. Man. Three things that was life to them. So they're running back there, but the healing took place when they obeyed. The healing took place when they responded to Christ. So they were physically healed, and that was better. But they missed out on the best. This one guy then says he turns back. And it says here, I think we're still in verse 15, he turned back and he praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then we find out that he's a Samaritan. Well, there's a lot here.
World.
We're always supposed to be involving and spreading this good news of Jesus to the whole world. And all through Genesis, as we've been studying, it's been a fight for that, hasn't it? It hasn't gone very well. People want to gather themselves. They want to rebel against God. They want to pick their little clans and stay in their little world. They don't want to follow God. They want to do their own thing. And God just keeps having to bring things into their life, whether it's floods or famine or whatever it is, to get their attention. And look, the message is to go out. Christ is going to fulfill that. He's been fulfilling that since the beginning. He's going to be saying, look, this message is beyond the Jews. I picked you as a source of blessing by which a conduit, by which I would come into the world. And this message is to go to the whole world. So now we have the Samaritans who are not liked. They're looked down upon. And they would think, oh, God doesn't want anything to do with them. And Jesus is saying, well, look, this guy is a Samaritan. In fact, it says in verse 17, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Well, the word's a little stronger than that, but he's making the distinction here. This gospel is for everyone. That's true justice. Equity, fairness, rightness, moral justice. Do you know that God so loved this world that he gave his only son, that if Premier Putin believes in him, he shall have everlasting life? Amen. Do you believe that?
Guy that killed those two lovely ladies just north here, right? Been trying to figure that issue out for several years now. God love him? He does. How can he do that? Because he's a just God and he's a merciful God. He holds that man accountable, but at the same time he offers forgiveness of sin the same as he would for you and me, because in reality you and I are nothing more than lepers without Jesus Christ. Amen. We're all in need, and Jesus is calling out this foreigner. I think he's really there's a crowd here. He's speaking to the crowd. He's not making fun of this poor guy. He's talking to this crowd saying, look, I don't care who you are. You call yourself a Jew? All right, so am I. That's not what's going to get your blessing. It's faith in me. Faith in me. So he's calling them out. And he says, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he finally turns to the foreigner because he's been talking to other people.
Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Stop the presses. I thought he was well. Didn't he already saw that he was cleansed? Didn't he see, hey, I'm already clean. What do you mean I'm well? There's something else going on here. You know that, right? You all know that. If you've read this story, if you studied that word that's being used, that word throughout this Gospel of Luke applies to salvation in God through faith in Christ alone. This foreigner, whatever, he seemed to have, we know his motives were good, thankfulness and gratefulness. He runs back to Jesus Christ. He throws himself to God. He's worshiping God. He's humbling himself before God. He calls him master. And he is committing himself, in a sense, by faith to this man. And God says, it's your faith in me.
Master, thank you so much for healing me. What a response of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord sees that in his heart. He says, it is that faith that makes people well. was going. He was going to go to that mercy seat for you and me. The leprosy that the whole world had from the beginning of time, they could not get rid of it. So Christ came and shed his blood on the cross so that that blood can wash away that leprosy for those who would apply it. He applies it to us by faith. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how bad your leprosy is. If you respond like the Samaritan did and come humbly to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you can be healed. What about you today that have trusted Christ? What about that? What about the Christians? What do we take away from this story? Wow. Well, there's lots of lessons. We don't have time to go into all of them. Small groups can certainly have fun with this. But I would think some of the stories, some of the principles that come out of the story is that we need to make sure that when we have issues in our life, we're going to the right sources for solutions. See, this doesn't matter, Christian, non-Christians. You can go to right sources, you can go to wrong sources. Just like the foot doctor thing. We talked about it earlier. Make sure you're going to the right source. Here's the right source. This book here. I was hoping I'd get a little more amen out of that, but that's okay. This is where you want to go. This is the thing that gives you all understanding, guide you in practice and doctrine, and how do I solve issues in my life? Find it in the Bible. I don't understand, and I never will. People say, well, the Bible doesn't address everything. That is not true. The principles of Scripture are there for us to apply to broad areas of life. And wisdom is in there. It can help you in your relationships. It can help you in your marriage. It can help you with your kids. It can help you with your work. It can help you with your attitude. It can help you with how do I deal with things. They're found in the source of the Word of God. We also have the Holy Spirit who guides us in all truth, the promise that was given to us by Jesus himself. We have all these things. And so we need to realize we need to come to the right source. But I want to say this. I want you to think about this verse, and I close with this. It was Micah who told the people, he has told you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, Christian. I'm going to put Christian in there. They weren't Christians. They were followers of God like we are. But to do what? Does anyone know the verse? To do what? To justly. To love mercy. To walk humbly with our God. To do justice. Are you for doing the right thing according to God's standards and not your personal preferences? I think if we pursue that, man, God's just going to open the door of opportunities for us in so many ways. I agree. Whole people are to be held accountable when they do wrong. Nations should be held accountable. That's the justice side, but it needs to come from a biblical perspective, but it must be coupled with mercy. If you can't do that, you better back away. I don't think God's going to be too favorable. And there's stories in the New Testament, you know some of them, where they were blessed, they were healed, then they turned around and mistreated someone else, and God did not look at that very favorably. You say, well, that person hurt me, or that individual, that job, or whatever it is, and I'm just angry, and I've got something I'm holding on to, and I'm telling you, man, you don't have to hold on to that thing. I'm not saying that person doesn't need to get it off their chest, you know, maybe, but that's a Holy Spirit thing